Do you do video games, like shooters?
Yeah, not really. Well, let's see.
Sometimes I'm grossed out by them. I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah. It's weird. Even if it can get pretty gnarly.
Yeah, even with Grand Theft Auto, I'm like the kind of person, I drive in the appropriate lane. I don't run over people. Like, I'm terrible.
You pull over.
You're driving Miss Daisy over here.
You try to redeem the hose.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, have you accepted Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. Let me pass you this. But like, Black and a Half returns.
Ready for action, nip it in the I did a comedy competition last night.
Awesome.
It was just an open mic night.
How many people showed up?
There's only 25 people that could get on.
You're right.
So we had the 25 full, and then there was, it was a good audience, a nice sized audience there.
Nice.
So it was a good Friday night
right
show. And I went there. I'd originally had a competition set that I was going to do until, because, you're tight 4 or 5, maybe a new joke, because I wanted the money.
Right.
Wait, how much money was at stake?
Like $50.
Oh.
Gives it away. Hey, I don't work at a bank.
Hey.
You know, I need.
You can't rob everybody.
$50 is still $50.
Daddy's trying to buy some Christmas presents.
I got my Christmas presents.
Right.
Right. But then after the shooting, hearing about the shooting, like all I could do was think about my daughter all day.
Yeah.
And I was a little on the fence about going to the competition earlier anyway, before I had heard about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing something. Did you post something about that?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I finally decided to go. Because then I said, I just want to go. I want to go talk about my daughter because I can't see her tonight.
Right.
So I'm just going to go do a set about my daughter. And I had one joke about her that I would have done anyway, but instead I just did the whole, turned out 4 minutes on her, and I don't know, last night I think in some ways I might have leveled up.
Had a breakthrough.
As a comedian.
Yeah, yeah. You always have these little...
I really went and, I was fifth up, ended up.
It's a sweet spot.
Well, of 25? I don't know. Is it?
I think so, because,
no, it's good. Yeah. Somebody's broken the ice. But
exactly.
Like,
yeah. But you're not, like, last.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The guy before me, he broke. Oh, it was rough.
Oh, so you look like a king going up there. Yeah.
Well,
that's always good.
But then I went up there, and I was like, I don't know what joke I was going to do first, and because I think the moment I start talking, they're gonna know the subject matter.
Yeah.
And I don't think you could have mentioned yesterday. You couldn't mention the word little kid or kindergartner without anybody not thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Like, there's no way that you could mention a kid.
I didn't do it on stage last night.
Did you do a joke about a kid at all?
I was going to do one about my nephew and how, like, he's spoiled and has an iPad, and the closest thing we had was, like, Etch-a-Sketch,
Yeah.
And so...
But you didn't know kid jokes,
I refrained from it, so I just...
Because you didn't want to ruin the people's nights to think, because they're already... They have a babysitter.
Exactly.
That
I figured
trusted,
it was their escape.
And then...
Yeah.
So I started off with my joke saying, my opening sentence was, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and I've been thinking about her a lot today.
Yeah.
And I remember when she was 2.5 years old, the first time she spoke clearly.
Yeah.
And, first time she spoke clearly, I was trying to have a conversation with her, and I said, Sierra, do you know what love is? And clear as a bell, she said, Daddy.
Aww.
Aww.
And then she shit her pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And that
only way to follow it up.
Yeah. So, and then that's got to, like...
What she basically was describing there was, Daddy takes care of my
kids. Maybe. Who knows?
That's what love is.
That's what I said. That's what love
is cleaning up very nasty things after
so
the ones
it's always a joke that works, and so it, I decided to... Actually, I guess my first joke was that I have a 5-year-old who's a souvenir from my first marriage.
No, there you go.
That was a little... But I think... And then I just spent the rest of the 4 minutes talking about stories of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a really nice reaction. I mean, people were cracking up at all the spots. They should.
Awesome.
And I think... and Kane Holloway pulled me aside after and gave me some compliments on my both how I've grown as a comic over the last year and how he's like, that was a great set.
That's awesome, because Kane's a shitty human being. I'm just gonna... No, I love Kane. He started a new podcast. Did you hear about that? Like, okay, so Kane and his girlfriend Kelsey Cook, they're starting a podcast, which I'm sure like Tyler shit it all
K2.
Over.
K2.
Yeah, K2. So all they need is one more K in there. It'd be fun.
Oh, wow. So he pulled me aside, and it was great. And what I was saying was, like, you know, it was weird. Last night, I just went up with some honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was completely just, I just want to talk about my kid. And that's what he said. You were just a guy up there talking about his kid.
Yeah.
And that was just great.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I think I've been up there being honest and stuff. But, yeah. I mean, I was choked up in the beginning when I started talking about the story of her, saying this. And, you know, so it was genuine, and I think heartfelt, and I think people understood. And at the end, I was like, "Hey, thank you for letting me take this time to talk about it."
Yeah,
like I didn't care about the competition,
and I think that's what comedy
and it
needs.
Showed
though.
In the results.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough comics that are talking about just kind of what you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who
well,
was
so
it?
Many people like the great thing about that. I love like comics that talk about their kids, even though I don't have kids. But
neither do I that I know of.
Right. That I know of. I'm pretty sure I don't have any that I know of. But yeah, like one time I heard on like an NPR thing or something, this comic is a blind guy and he's amazing. And his whole shtick was about his like little daughter and her experience of him when she learned how to talk, figuring out that he was blind. And it was like the best comedy because it was just so real. It was just so honest. It was like, it wasn't like trying to like, what's going to be the funniest thing I can think of to say here? It was just like, this is what happened. And this was
exactly
really funny. And it's honest stories about human life.
Because I think the crowd most of the time can see through bullshit. You know,
oh, yeah.
They know when you're just making stuff up, you know, like, I mean, there's a few great comics that can do it. Like, you know, Chappelle, to this day, he says he still doesn't talk about, you know, his life. You know,
he doesn't?
No, he was like, most of the stuff I talk about is just, you know, like he says none of his stuff is autobiographical or, you know, autobiographic. So, I don't know.
Huh, I'm trying to think of a joke of his, and I was like, yeah, they all are about, that I can remember are.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, even the story about his dad saying the, what do you want for Christmas? Tell Santa you want your freedom.
Oh, well,
was that him?
I don't know if it was.
Oh, man,
I don't remember him telling that one.
Oh, those comics look cool.
But, yeah, like, it was funny that you say that. I mean, that we brought up this topic because I was actually talking to a comic who's been doing it for 22 years. He's actually headlining over at the Parlor this weekend. His name is Willie Barsena.
Okay.
And he was... like,
Dot Brown?
No, that's the guy who's going up after Kevin.com. Brown. Kevin's a good comic.
Oh, he's the feature?
Yeah, he's sort of like a co-headliner. He's not as strong as Willie, and so, but...
He's the name.
Yeah, he's the name. He's the big name on it. But Willie is a beast on stage. He just doesn't have the TV credits behind it. But, you know, I was talking to Tyler Smith backstage about how, like, tired I am of all my jokes, and every time I write something, it just doesn't feel like it sticks. Even if it, you know, gets laughs, I'm like, that's not quality.
Mm.
It feels like it's an easy joke. But I was sitting there bitching about my job and a few other things, and Willie just said, dude, that's where the funny is. He's like, he was like, do me a favor, grab a book, grab a journal. Don't even try to be funny. Just write your life situations down and just see what comes out of it. And so, I mean, that's the new, I guess, venture of the week or the month. So we'll see where it goes. So should be interesting.
That's mostly what I've been writing is stuff about me and then occasional thoughts. But
exactly. You know, that's the thing is, not me. I'm always trying to think, well, what does the crowd want? But
maybe
that's not what it's about. Maybe it's like, what do I think is funny?
But the crowd wants you.
They want me. Right. But,
but that's the thing.
I think they want more honesty from me. I've had comics come up and they're like, dude, I love your stuff, but who are you as a comic? Yeah. So you got to kind of just...
You've heard what Mike Cummings said about you, right? On his podcast.
What?
He was saying, Manny, you know, he's a good guy, funny, you know, but we don't know if he's really funny yet.
Yeah.
Because he's not doing personal stuff.
It's true. I mean,
he could be. We're kind of waiting to see.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm the only person holding myself back.
And he said that on a podcast. That's why I thought you might have.
Yeah, no. What was the what podcast?
I forget who he was. They were. It was his table for one. Mm-hmm. I thought they actually had a black man on his podcast. So.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, I'll have to listen to it.
I used to
listen to Mike's podcast all the time. It's just I've been missed a few episodes. So
yeah.
It's nice to know that you're being brought up and relevant in other people's conversations.
Before you left.
Yeah. So it's cool. Yeah, Mike's a good dude. I feel like he's one of those guys who will probably make it if he doesn't get any fatter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love Mike and his lazy eye.
Doesn't get convicted again.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah, if he can manage to stay out of jail.
Yeah, we used to be such a dick to him. Like, if he was ever mean to us, we'd be like, you know what, we're going to go see a 3D movie without you.
Oh, that's just mean.
No, we love him, though. He's a good dude. So, not to be a Debbie Downer, but like, okay, so what do you guys think about, I mean, where do we go as a nation with the, you know, with the shooting? I mean, do we need gun restriction? What do we need? I mean, is it like, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but in China, there's a guy who stabbed 22 kids.
Stabbed.
Yeah, with a knife. You know, and it's like, nobody died, but.
And you know, this is a rat, like, a thing that's been going on in China, I heard about.
What?
Like, that there's people, these incidents keep happening of these guys going into towns, going into the school, and, like, knifing kids.
It's crazy.
What?
Yeah. I didn't know it was an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's like, yeah, trendy.
It's just, it's crazy to me. This world seems so evil sometimes. And I'm like, why? You know, it's just, I mean, here's the thing, though. I feel like if we had gun restrictions, I mean, at least, guys, you have a fighting chance against somebody with a knife, you know?
You do.
But it's like with a gun, you're kind of just at their mercy.
Right. Well, especially like assault weapons.
Exactly.
Like, I don't necessarily, I don't know. I keep going back and forth. My husband and I actually were talking about this last night, too, because we both pretty much strongly think, like, you know, I don't want to say, oh, we have to totally get rid of the Second Amendment. It's time for that to go away. But why really do we need to have, like, assault weapons available for anybody to buy? Like,
it's
just asking for, like, somebody to go someone and argued spray with me. Bullets at someone.
They said today, it doesn't do any good because a double barrel
shotgun. What,
or they said, like, a double barrel revolver.
Mm-hmm.
Double action revolver can shoot just as fast as a semi-automatic weapon. And I'm like, well, then we don't need a semi-automatic weapon, right?
Yeah,
well, let's start there.
Yeah.
I'll take my chance with the slow-ass person that doesn't need to know how to use it that stole it.
Exactly.
Then.
So true.
Exactly.
Because I can shoot a semi-automatic weapon.
Yeah.
Right,
a revolver, I'd be like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Spinning it. I don't know how this thing works.
And this is the second, at least, or what, third that...
I mean, between, Colorado... Okay,
I don't know. I didn't find out about the Oregon guy yet. That
no, he had a shotgun, I think, or something.
But I don't know if his was legal or not.
I think it was.
I mean, all of these big ones this year were all legally obtained. Yeah. The guy last night, I mean, he took it from his mom after he killed her. But
dude, it's crazy.
That's,
what?
So, but she legally obtained it.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Right.
Yeah.
And then someone tried to, like, well, they sent me a Wikipedia list of the countries with the most firearms and how we're not in the we're number 9 in fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other countries, and I was like, but we're the first Western nation, mm-hmm. and we're also the one with we have the most guns per capita in the world.
Right.
So if you look, I'm like, you actually just proved my point. Everybody with guns uses them.
Yeah.
And Mexico is not supposed to have guns, but I was like, they're not supposed to have, like, anything, but the corruption's so bad down there.
Seriously, the cartel controls
the cartel, I'm like, they run everything, so that's not even, like...
That's not a comparison. Laws.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
It's like, compare it to England.
Yeah.
You know, where they're illegal.
Yeah. It's wild to me. It's just... I don't know. Like, I guess people talk about recreational, you know, for sport, but... Fuck, get a crossbow. How much cooler would you be? Like, if you're really that tough, go kill a bear or a deer with a knife. I want to see some awesome shit happen. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like guns are too easy.
I'm not. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and for me, I don't want to spend my day worrying about somebody's going to come shoot her so that somebody can go hunting.
Exactly.
I mean,
honestly. Exactly. Like, the trade-off is just, it's like, seriously, like, we should continue to let children be slaughtered like this so that you can go
ridiculous.
And kill a deer with your semiotic weapon?
What does it take? I mean, like, God, it's one of the most deadly things in the world. And it's, I don't know, like, what Congress... I know it's not the popular decision, you know? If you're the president, you're like, hey, you know, we need to do away with the Second Amendment. What do you... I don't
know.
Well,
I mean, he can't.
He can't, but I mean...
But he could try to get more legislation going to...
Something's got to happen. We got to figure out something. And I don't think it's... I don't think it's completely as simple as guns, although I think that's at least a step.
Yeah.
But I mean, clearly, there are just things going on...
Mental illness.
Mentally with people, and, you know...
But how do you diagnose
managing,
everybody?
You know, I don't know how you diagnose everybody, but, like, even putting in, I think, as sad as it is, I was saying, well, you know, why don't we do, like... We've managed to do pretty good protecting with the airports, security. Why can't why shouldn't we also be doing that? As sad as it is, yeah. maybe we should at least be starting to do that, like in schools, and not letting, you know.
Yeah, it's wild. Sad.
I mean, the idea that of a kid. I mean, you don't. I mean, nobody thought of movie theater.
Nobody thought of movie theater. Yeah,
but even worse, like I mean, who goes to children? Who goes after children?
Dude,
I mean, that's the most untrustworthy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I
mean, welcome to Black and a Half.
Yeah. Very fantastic. Depressing start. All right.
Oh, Key man. Peele are idols. Aileen Perron.
Yes.
Perron. You got to make it sound sexy.
Yeah. Perron. Yeah. It's got to say, it sounds
is
a
it
lot
Spanish?
Like. No, everyone thinks that it's actually Italian. However, the funny thing
is,
it's Italian, but, and it's spelled with P-A-R-O-N. Mm-hmm. So, but it does sound an awful lot like Perón from Argentina. Yeah. And we do actually have family in Argentina, but spelled differently.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, cool. I'm Italian. So,
there you go. So it's nice. Like,
family.
It
makes sense.
Exactly.
A family.
It's almost like this whole table is like, so it's black, half Italian.
I'm Italian by marriage.
Oh, there you go. Oh. Fair enough.
I have good credit by marriage.
So. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. But then your stage name.
Scarlet Season.
That's gangster. I like that. Yeah. That sounds dangerous.
Scarlet. It does sound. Yeah. It sounds a little violent. It
sounds like a superhero.
Considering our conversation. Yeah. It's almost good. Like, eh.
No, I like the superhero season. Idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming this...
Coming this fall, Scarlet Season.
To the WB. It'd be a WB.
WB,
yeah.
Exactly.
A
WB.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're self-producing?
Yeah,
your work
yeah.
Right now?
I am. I do everything myself. I apparently have control issues. So, yeah, I put out a record a year and a half ago called The Taxidermist. And it was the first record that I did completely by myself, although I did have, I don't want to say completely, I did have a second pair of ears, I did have somebody else mixing and doing like little editing and production, and then sent it off for mastering at a professional studio here in Seattle. But other than that, sound design, writing, recording, all of that sort of stuff was all me.
Wow. That is impressive. So where'd you get your start?
Where did I get my start? I have had an interesting road. So if you want to talk about music, let's see. So I used to do musical theater. Musical theater was a big thing for me in my teens and early 20s. And I came out to Seattle and I was really torn because I had sort of been starting to get into bands throughout that time in college. And I was kind of torn about what I wanted to do when I got here. And I was like, well, I guess whatever happens first is what I'm gonna do. So I kind of pursued a couple of bands. Those weren't really working out. Then I got into the theater scene. That worked out really well. So I just kind of went with it, and I was in the theater scene for a couple of years, and that's how I met Silas. And then I started getting really burnt out right about the time I met you, actually.
I don't know if it's a coincidence. I pushed her over the edge.
Exactly.
You pushed me over the edge,
these crappy
Silas.
Actors, Silas.
Yeah, so I guess I was starting to feel really burnt out, and my husband was like, I think maybe you need to do something a little different. Why don't you go back and focus on music for a while? And so I was like, okay, it'll be a good break. It'll be a good break to go and do music and do my own thing for a while. A long time ago, somebody had seen me sing and it said, you're never going to be happy unless you're doing everything yourself. Like if you have to like be your own person and not listen to other people. And I was like, I don't know if that's true. Now I think that actually might be true.
Wow.
So that became a journey of me like playing instruments and like still trying to figure out like, do I want to write with other people? But I never found people that clicked with me. I mean, I definitely do things my own way. And you know, guys would tell me like, oh, you're going about this the wrong way. And I'd be like, whatever, dude, I know what I'm doing. So started writing by myself, and I was doing the singer-songwriter, like playing the piano thing for a while. I had a couple people who were playing with me, and I got really interested in doing more even than that. I was like, no, I want to go further with this. I want to be able to produce music the way I really hear it in my head. I hear like big orchestrated things when I listen to write music and I think about music. And I didn't know how to necessarily communicate that to other people. And I was like, I just need to learn how to do this myself. And again, I kind of fortuitously came upon an opportunity. I met a girl named Toby Campbell who goes by Anna Mae Bell, also mm-hmm. a stage name. And she's very much of the same kind of cloth, like writes everything, produces everything. It's electronic kind of trip hop string music. And she invited me to come and do backing vocals and play keys with her on tour. So I toured around with her for a while, sort of getting rejuvenated and ready to go back out and start working on the same sort of thing for myself. And that's how the taxidermist got started, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Wow. That was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I got a question. All right. So you said you started out with bands, right?
Yeah.
Tell us some of the crappiest bands or band stories that you've worked with.
I should have more stories, but the thing about the bands that I was in is that most of them crapped out before you even had a chance to have any of those ridiculous stories.
Really?
Believe it or not, like, it get started and we were writing songs. Like, this one band I was in college. I thought we were going to do really well. The lead guy was like really into it and, was the first guy that really took me kind of seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But like every band member just flaked off. Like, it's always the story. Like, this is the hardest thing to find in music is people who like won't flake off, and like their girlfriends or their boyfriends or whatever aren't like, dude, you're spending too much time playing music, or you have other things to do. That sort of stuff. So that's the story. I don't have any really exciting stories. It was mostly a lot of that. Like, oh, I thought I could do this, but my girlfriend's really pissed right now. So
yeah, relationships can kill.
Yeah.
The career. All of them. Some of them are productive and helpful. Yeah.
Did they never even make it to performing once?
Yeah, stage? No, seriously, like almost none of the things. And then also there would be like, that was usually the story. Usually it was something like that. Or like, I do have one funny story though about a band that I joined. So I joined a band, this was in Pittsburgh, and they seemed really into it, but like, few weeks into rehearsing, it wasn't even that long, like I show up at rehearsal and they look all surprised to see me. Just looking at me like, oh, did you not get our message?
Oh.
And I'm like, what? We've decided to go a different direction, so this is our new singer.
Ouch.
I was like, God. Oh, okay then.
So, I've heard about that happening on TV shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, yeah. Who was
crazy.
It?
It was pretty mortifying. So that was one story.
Well, did that band not make it?
I don't know what happened to them because I left shortly, I think.
Can we do a I Hate This Band page?
Yeah, that would be great.
Like, you screwed up.
You screwed up major.
Yeah, you dropped the ball.
No, but it's great. I mean, all of these things happen. And in the end, I'm actually really glad. And I don't want to make a big sexist thing out of it. But I'm really glad to like not be playing music with dudes for the most part.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I find dudes. They're too cool dudes. You all are cool dudes. But in music, there's just so much.
Even in comedy.
In
you
comedy,
know?
Too, I'm sure it's the same thing.
It's weird.
So
like,
sexist.
I don't know if girls and guys can be friends in the comedy scene. Yeah. It's just, too many hormones going on, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just the story of, you know, here's the thing about comedy, at least. I feel like there's a lot of guys out there who never were around girls, so these are the first girls that they've actually talked to in their life. So even if you were talking to a girl first, everybody just kind of like swarms. Like, I brought a friend, not even like, I wasn't even into her, brought her down to Bender's, and like 20 comics swarmed her, and she was like, I'm never coming out to another one of your shows. I am so creeped out. I was like, all right. So
like, well, she must be easy.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
Manny,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's what I was like. All right, fair enough. Yeah. So yeah, but they creeped her out beyond belief.
Was it open mic?
It was an open mic.
Well, it's probably they can't behave.
Exactly.
Open mic.
Yeah, man. I don't get it. But it's like, always have some class. You know, treat women. You know, just I don't know, with more respect than just the.
No,
anyways.
You were mentioning the people saying you couldn't, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Now, were these people who had actually done it before, or were they people hadn't?
They were people that thought they knew what they were doing, and maybe what they were doing works for them. But mm-hmm. It's just really weird. It's really weird for someone to say, like, my particular example, I remember this one guy. I had gone to audition for him and sang a song for him. And he's like, totally, we should totally work together. I'm going to give you some guitar tracks, and maybe you could write lyrics and a melody over the top of them. Hmm. And I'm listening to these guitar tracks, and they weren't, it's not like they were anything amazing, you know, and I wasn't hearing anything. And, I have good ears. I wasn't hearing a melody. I was like, I don't hear a melody here. I don't know how to sing over this. And I was like, I don't think it's me, but whatever. Maybe it is. Maybe I just do things differently. But I called him up, and I was like, so I'm having a hard time with the stuff that you gave me. Is it possible that maybe we could start with a melody and you could write something under it? I think that's what I said to him. And he's like, that's not how you write a song.
Jeez. Because there's only one way?
I was like, what are you talking about? That's not how you write a song. There are plenty of songs that have been
written. Beatles, famous.
Plenty of songs where somebody's just gone, da
eggs and ham.
Oh, that sounds like a melody. Oh, I should write something to that. And then you go and sit down, like, at your instrument with piano. I'm like, oh, okay. If I play that, like, oh, I should put this chord underneath it. Mm-hmm. What words go with it? I mean, yeah, it's totally, yeah. Like, tons of songs have been written this way. And it's not like there's one way to write a song.
Right.
A lot of songs have been written from somebody just playing some chords and like, oh, that kind of sounds like a riff. Maybe I could write something that goes with that riff and sing something over it.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of ways to write a song. So for somebody to say to me, this is how I knew this was like, was not going to go anywhere. I was like, for somebody to say to me like, oh, that's not how you write a song. I was like, oh, okay then. You, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. I'm not going to work with you.
That's interesting. Like, have you ever had a bad audition, like, where they just asked, like, weird stuff of you?
Did you find yourself in a porn audition?
Well, they were like, you did great during this first part, but could you do it without your pants on? I was like, yes.
Oh, you don't do comedy with your pants on.
Right, exactly. I'm like, all right, let me take these off. All right, is this funnier? They're like, yes.
Yeah, no. People will laugh. Sometimes it's where it's directors just want to, like, showboat what they can do.
Yeah.
It's more about them impressing. You know, as a director, I was supposed to, and I always did, to see if somebody could take direction.
Yeah.
Give them a note like, hey, do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they can.
Yeah.
Even if it's weird.
Yeah.
Just to see how they'll play with it.
Oh.
And so you'll do that, but then, you know, there's all these stories in Hollywood, too, about people saying, can you do that more Persian? That's what Melissa Shoshana. Yeah.
Right. Right.
But it's real. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's a real story because people really do say things like that.
Yeah, what was her thing? She said something about, like, her husband's a bomber and she's supposed to say, Jose, no.
Yeah. one line.
Yeah, just, this one line. And then she was like, Jose, no. Such a great joke.
There's some BS in some of those. Like, you're saying one line.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not really.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just about.
Yeah. It's tough because, I think at a certain point, maybe you get typecasted in certain things. Yeah. So I don't know what we would be if we were in Hollywood. So criminal, and what would you be? Well, lawyer?
You'd be the criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
But you'd be like that, the friend trying to get out because he's really smarter,
And I know how to read, son. I know how to do this.
Quincy Jones is trying to keep you in the drug game.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, you got to stay in the drug game, son. So.
You're like, no, my mama said I could be more. And I'm the lawyer like, look, you can turn your life around, Manny.
I'm going to go over here with Silas and get this shit right.
And you're like, you ain't even black. And I tell you, you don't know where I've been. Don't judge me.
It's great. Quincy Jones is in town this weekend. And
is he?
Yeah, he wanted to be on our podcast.
Yeah, just tell him he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, like we were like, you have to accomplish
something. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no,
write a book.
Yeah.
There's only room for three, so.
Exactly.
It's not black and a half.
Yeah, exactly. Black squared and a half. So. Maybe eventually. Yeah, maybe eventually we'll have
Quincy, one day.
One day.
You know what? I bet he hasn't even listened to our podcast.
He probably hasn't.
He just wanted
to be on there.
He's like, I want to be on your podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you got to get it on the ground floor.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So. Yeah. It's like, if this goes anywhere. So.
It is going somewhere.
Yeah. We have our listeners now.
I always tell my wife, like, I talk about stuff like, oh, okay, this is what we're going to do. And she's like, well, you know, we'll probably never make that much money. And I'm like, we'll never make that much money if that's your attitude.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You have to say, oh, we're going to do this. And then we do it.
Exactly.
Do you guys ever find yourself doing this? Like, you might just be driving and your brain goes to a different place. You're like, you drive by all these houses and you're like, man, these people are just trapped in a 9-to-5 everyday job.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything. Like, I mean, they're just living a comfortable life. They're not aspiring to be anything more.
Yeah.
Are you assuming that because you're in an apartment?
What's up?
Are you assuming that because you're in an apartment?
Well, I guess.
But maybe just because they're in a house, they could still be doing.
Well, no, I'm thinking. I mean, stuff. No, I figure there's people that are still doing stuff.
It doesn't mean because of the house. It just means like, you know.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of people who are
I do that when I go into the grocery store.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that just live comfortable. I was talking to who Kyle Cease about that. And he's like, it's almost like some people are just kind of trapped in the Matrix. They just go through their everyday life. They don't, you know, aspire to do anything else.
And, yeah.
You know. Even though we're comics, I mean, I feel like we're shooting for something more, you know, artists, you know, singing. And I don't know. Just.
Well, we do something. We create, right?
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there are a lot of people aspiring to do more. It's just like, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
I think it's okay not to have, like, you know what? I see it both ways, I think. I see, like, people, it's okay to be comfortable. It's okay to, like, have a life that's comfortable. I just hope those people are happy.
Exactly.
Being comfortable. And, like, I hope that, I think. People would be a lot happier in general if they don't have to have ambitions, but maybe they just have forms of expression.
Exactly.
Or try something.
Be creative and expressive and adventurous and try things. Yeah.
This is one of the reasons I love, and not just because I am an open mic comic. So one of the reasons I love open mic comics is I love the ones that have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine with their job, but they've always wanted to do this, and they're trying it, and they don't know how long they're going to do it. Yeah. Might be a week, might be a month. Who knows? They're just trying it. I'm like, you're doing something, though. You're getting out there. And one reason I don't understand why other comics might crap on these people is these people are at least probably comedy fans.
Yeah.
If you're trying to build a fan base...
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be like, hey, you're somebody who's into comedy. Maybe you'll be my fan one day.
You know what's interesting? I always, like, no matter who was starting for the first time when Parler had an open mic, I was like, dude, you're doing something that some people have dreamed about but never had the balls to actually get up there and do it.
So,
right.
You know, I'm like, that's your first step, you know, and you never know what might come of it. So. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think once you're like 2-3 years in, you're kind of just stuck. I don't think you'll ever quit. You know, I think you're always just going to be there.
Or that's when they quit, right?
Yeah, true. I mean, it's either you get past that 3-year mark or, you know.
Yeah.
You're done. You're like,
Yeah.
Well, someone, I think David Crow, the local guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was saying, you can only do something like about 2-3 years before you start going, I kind of need to start getting paid for this.
Yeah.
Which I did theater for a really long time, so that never happened to me, apparently. Yeah. I never realized. But it was like, I need to get some money for this somehow. Yeah. Or I could take anything that you're paying, I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, I've lived, I didn't quite, I was like, I saw where he was saying, but I'm like, well, but I've grown up not thinking that way.
It's going to be a whole different world when you start getting paid for comedy. It's weird. Like, depending on how you get paid, because it's like, sometimes it turns into
$50 last week.
Well, that's, that's definitely a step in the right direction.
Any money's good.
But it's weird when you turn into, sometimes I feel like I'm a corporate guinea pig. You know what I mean? It's like, for the Parler, you know, it's like, hey, you'll get paid X amount of dollars, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, we want you to do this. We want you to say this. We don't want you to do this joke. And I'm like, well, then I'm not being myself, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it's weird.
But if you're going to get on TV, that's going to happen too.
Yeah, it's going to happen anyways. Yeah. So, I mean.
Dimitri Martin was talking about on a podcast, he tricked them into letting him, because he brought all these props up and started doing stuff so that they couldn't edit it.
Oh.
He made it, and then he had, like, curtains come open and people come out. He knew what he was doing. Like, he manipulated it so that they would not be able to edit his show.
Wow.
And that's how we ended up doing it, because there would have been continuity problems.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how we got his first one aired up. And then he did one where they cut it. And so, like, but, you know.
Good for him.
Kind of where it is. But, yeah, he worked the system.
Serious. Oh, that's crazy.
I like it.
Man.
But, yeah, I mean, I think that's a problem some of the both newer and some older ones have about saying you can't edit me or censor me.
True. Like,
well, and then maybe if you're happy with the road.
Yeah.
Then that's fine, but
at some point,
someone's going to edit you at some point.
Exactly.
So.
You know, there's big wigs out there that are like, hey, if we're going to pay you this.
I mean, for music, do you feel like, would you take anybody saying, well, I mean, you don't
Well, you edit your stuff now, so you're pretty much in control of everything. But, I mean, if somebody were to come up and say, you know, hey, Aileen, we're going to go ahead and get you, you know, we're going to give you $100,000 to do this.
Uh-huh. But you need to alter in this way.
Exactly.
Well, it depends on the way. Like, if they wanted me to change the lyrics to my song, I would probably not do it. Now, I do edit myself to a certain degree in terms of, like, building set lists, like I'm sure you guys do too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm happy to do that to like make things appropriate for an audience or like make things like make more sense to a certain group of people.
It's not a children's function, but, like, to swear. And
yeah, no swearing. Although, you know, I generally make pretty conscious decisions not to do that in my music anyway, because, you know.
Fuck you.
There could be a lot of that.
Fuck you.
Have you heard? Lily Allen has a whole song that is just that over and over again. Pretty much.
Cece.
Pretty much. She's a potty mouth. I'm a potty mouth, but don't have my music.
Hilarious.
Now, like, I used to occasionally watch some reality shows, and I might have caught one or two episodes of Jessica Simpson's show.
Shut up.
Wait, which one was this? Was this back in the day with Nick Lachey?
With Nick Lachey.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great show.
Now, there was an episode where they talked about her. She had just finished recording a whole CD, and she was going, they were traveling around some doing some stuff, and the record label called. And let me back up. I had just seen an episode where she sang in Florida and sang, like, America the Beautiful, and I was blown away. Mm-hmm. I could not believe she could sing as well as she could. Huh. I was like, what is this? Hold on. This woman can sing, like, really good. And then I think it was, like, the next episode, the company called and said, you need to come back and redo the whole thing.
Wow.
It's too bluesy. There's too much going on. They wanted her to tone. They said people are not going to be able to sing along with it. So she sang too well. They wanted her to tone it down so that it can play on the radio and everyone can sing along with it.
Yeah, I'd have some words for
that's
that.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so she was all crying. They said, they said it's too bluesy and jazz. And because when I heard her sing America the Beautiful, you understood, she hits octaves that go crazy. She has a crazy range. But for commercial radio, they don't want that.
Wow.
They want you to sing in this little way until you're... I mean, I thought she's on this friggin' show. Yeah. She's Jessica Simpson, so I thought she had some sway, but she wasn't like Christina. You can't tell Christina what to do because she's...
You cannot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she was too big.
I thought she got stuck in that.
Well, after Genie in the Bottle, they said, no, she's like, you can't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a whore now.
Exactly.
I make my own decisions, and my decision is to be a whore.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what's crazy, though? Like, I was just watching TV, man, and I feel like the media just picks on Jessica and Christina about their weight.
It's horrible.
That's what I'm saying,
it's
right?
It's really horrible.
They need to just come over to the black community. We will accept them. You know what I'm saying? We're not picky. I mean, we just love.
We're not picky.
But we love, you know, we love big white women. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that's what Jessica was going to do. She's going, fuck you. I'm getting with, you know. I'm like, all right.
She's rich.
Exactly. So I thought maybe somebody would play their part. Maybe Nick Cannon, you know, if he didn't hook up
Nick
with Mariah.
Cannon,
that's what I'm saying, you know. So, shoot.
Do the issues with the way media portrays women, the expectation, does that, as an artist, does that concern you going in?
Oh, yeah.
Like, about, okay, what if I get big, then I'm going to have to, I mean, musically. if you get musically big, are you like, afraid, like, oh, then they're going to attack me?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to think about those sorts of things. You know, I don't fear it too much because, like, I'll deal with that. But
but
it's definitely something, and these are all good segs for talking about RCRC and all of that.
RCRC?
Jam, the Rain City Rock Camp.
Because
this is all something that we deal with, too, as an organization that is for empowering younger girls in the theme of music, at least. And also we have... Also, kind of like we were talking about earlier with the open mics, we also have a ladies rock camp, which is for ladies to get out there and be like, sure, you've never touched an instrument in your life, but that's haven't you always awesome. Wanted
Wait,
to?
Ladies rock camp? Like older women? Like like MILFs coming to Totes. Rock out?
Like on The Simpsons.
A MILF rock.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, although that might be considered as being a little, you know.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Sexist.
Sexist.
Yeah.
Sexist.
Potentially.
Maybe
yeah.
we should come up with a new term instead of
not
mom,
MILF
I
rock.
Would like to,
no MILF
yeah,
rock.
Yeah. Which is, maybe we should call them, like,
I don't know. Oh, I thought it meant
awesome
mothers
older
I'd
lady.
Like.
There you go, right?
I thought it was mothers I'd like to frankly talk with.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. What were you talking
about?
MILFed.
You said MILFed.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the T. Frankly. Wow. Oh, it's MILFed. Yeah. Sorry. MILFed.
Yeah, MILFed.
Okay, so yeah. MILFed.
There you go.
There we go. I'd like to frankly,
what you people.
Frankly talk to.
Dirty mind.
Okay.
So, but really, like, so they're going to, then they go and.
Okay.
I'm just thinking grown women.
Yeah.
This kid's like, I'm going to take the week off next week, honey, and go be in rock
camp.
Yeah,
so the deal is, so Ladies Rock Camp happens. We're actually doing a second one this year. So usually it's once a year. And it's a fundraiser for the bigger camp, which is Marine City Rock Camp for girls. So Ladies Rock Camp's for any lady that wants to come. And it's a 3-day experience, so you don't have to take a whole week off of work. It's a 3-day experience. Pretty rad. So what happens, it's like a boot camp of sorts. You go in like early Friday morning and you get to know some people. You form little bands. The goal of this project is that you are going to form a band based of guitar, vocals, bass, and drums. And you are going to write and perform an original song at the end of the third day.
Wow.
It's intense. Super intense. So you go in, and most of these people, not all, like some people come back year after year. So some people have played, and some people have more experience even before they came to Ladies Rock Camp, and some people come to Ladies Rock Camp, have never touched an instrument in their entire lives, but are like, I've always wanted to try this, so I'm going to give it a go. And that's what's so great. It's so opening and welcoming to that sort of an experience to get people to feel confident and empowered in a way that you don't, you know, normally get, especially as a woman in that particular industry. So yeah, they come in, they get some instruction. There's also kind of songwriting workshops, other kinds of workshops, lots of dance parties, and band practices, and you figure out how to work in a band, which is a whole interesting ball game, and how to write together and how to perform together. And then they do showcase on the third day. A couple years ago, I did it for the experience of it, and we did a showcase at Chop Suey. The last two have been at Hard Rock, so there's going to be another one in May, and they're going to do the showcase at Hard Rock.
So how do they sign up for this?
They can sign up. I don't think that... Well, the dates are, actually. Let me see if I can pull up the dates.
You know, if you ever need any hosts for these things, Black and a half likes to host events.
Yeah, we are all about the ladies.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'll keep that in my back pocket. Yeah.
And just know if Silas says MILF...
Bitches love us.
That's right. Had to get one in this show.
That's right. It's my turn. Got to say it before Manny.
Okay, so the next workshop for the ladies is going to be May 10th through 12th. Applications are not available quite yet, but they will be online soon, it looks like. So you want to look at raincityrockcamp.org
awesome.
For that information. And yeah, they'll be showcasing at Hard Rock Cafe. Oh, and it's $375 for the whole weekend.
That's a great deal for...
It's a great price.
Yeah.
To live your dreams?
To live your dream.
Yeah, live your dream for a weekend and get on stage and rock out. And in the process, like most of the great thing about this too, like we have fabulous stories and we post them on Facebook. Then you join, like you can join a little group on Facebook once you're, you know, signed on for this sort of an event. And people interact with each other on Facebook. People make friends through this process and stay together. Bands actually form out of this process. We have a lot of bands that have formed over the last couple of years, you know, where they're finally getting to like play instruments and not be, you know, judged, and they don't have to take it seriously.
Do you do the like,
we're doing it for fun, maybe
battle of the lady bands
battle
there's reunions
no... they do reunions nice. They do
reunion
do reunions
shows.
They had one just a couple of weeks ago at the Rendezvous Jewel Box. They had a reunion with some of the bands that had formed in the last camp, which was in August.
All right, quick question. Who is everybody's, like, going around the table, who's your favorite girl band of all time? You guys can't even think of it.
No, wait, it's a hard question. That's a toughie. Man, there's so many that I like.
When I was in high school,
yeah.
I would have been like, well, there weren't. I remember the Bengals.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that was the first thing that popped in my head, but they weren't my absolute favorite band. Although I do love Susanna Hoffs.
Mine is Vanity Six. You know who they are?
I don't think I know them.
They sing Nasty Girl. Oh, that was awesome.
That's awesome.
Gosh, wait, have you...
Now, are you talking a band?
Yeah, they're a group. Band. Well, they're like, well, no, they had like three or four. They had
do
guitars.
They sing?
They sing, they play.
Oh, they do play instruments.
Exactly.
Not like, because like, En Vogue is not a band.
No, no, yeah, yeah. But do you remember, like, did you ever see Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah.
You remember when they were in the strip club? When Eddie Murphy was in the strip club and it was like, oh, little nasty girl. And it was a gangster song. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, download it. Yeah. Tonight, I'm living in a fantasy, so you think I'm a nasty girl. Okay, never mind. So, that was my song. I was bumping that on work. I was bumping that on the way to work the other day. It was awesome. I was like, I'm in a strip club. This is great.
I didn't realize.
I'd probably go with, like, the Runaways or the Donnas.
Oh, there you go.
Something like that.
I was, like, trying to think of, like, all-girl bands.
Yeah.
Like.
And that's, we shouldn't have to work so hard to think of this.
Exactly, thing. Right?
Well, I don't listen to bands.
That's why, ladies, if you're listening to this, you need to get out there. And go to this camp because it will be amazing. You could be the next big thing.
So, like, one comic wrote, he just got a job, which is rare. and he got a job, and he said, he was listening, he was talking to a coworker, and he asked what the favorite band was, and they had said Pink. And he's like,
that's not really a band.
And he's like, what kind of people am I working with? I think he was shitting on Pink for being like, but I was like, Pink's
awesome.
Badass.
What are you talking about?
I love Pink.
Seriously.
She rocks.
Yeah. She's like a kick ass.
There's always going to be haters.
Right, but here's the thing. Here's one thing I did learn. I didn't, I might be wrong on this, but I thought I ended up learning like somebody like an artist like Pink will have a band that is their band that they always play with. That they don't necessarily like, it's not like they switch out all the time, that people will be like, oh, yeah, I was the lead drummer for Pink for 3 years because she was in her band.
That's true for when they're on tour. I think, you know, you're not swapping out people while you're on tour, but I don't know if that's true, like, consistently forever.
Right. Well, maybe. Might be when they started because, I mean, like.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I thought, I was like, I didn't know if you should not Pink or not, and I was afraid to, like, be like, I like Pink.
And John Mayer rolls with, like, a lot of his same bandmates and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, John Mayer's a whore.
He is. He is. God, he's ruining so many great women out there.
He is terrible.
Yeah. I love his music, but damn, man, he's Taylor Swift, who else? Katy Perry now. And
oh, gosh.
Jennifer
Taylor
Aniston.
Really?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston.
That's
right.
God, man, he is laying pipe. That guy's ridiculous. It's just
terrible. I decided to do theater.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did the wrong thing.
That gets
That's
girls.
Where all the, yeah, know. You get a lot of girls.
What did I do? Actually, I bet you do get a lot of girls.
I could have got a lot of boys, but.
Definitely.
A lot of girls. So we were, before you got here, because Manny was late.
The black part of Black and a Half.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
He was black in traffic.
Yeah, exactly. CPT.
we were talking about. I was finding out what level geek she was.
Oh, nice.
You know, to find out.
Yeah.
What's my score? What am I? What level?
Well, I don't know. Like, she doesn't like Star Trek, which is like, what?
No. Yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody.
I like it. It's not that I don't like it. I don't love it.
Have you seen
I can't really talk about it.
Did you see the newest one?
Yeah. The movie with Pine.
Yeah,
Pine,
yeah.
Right?
Chris Pine, yeah. I feel like that reinvented it for a lot of people.
I saw that. And, you know, I actually really like that movie. I saw the trailer for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like Star Trek at all.
Yeah,
it's very actiony.
It
They've changed
look right.
it to
it
be
It looks kind of like Batman.
Yeah.
Well, darker. A lot of the stuff is going dark now.
Yeah.
So
people don't like
it. I was kind of disappointed, and I'm not even that big a Star Trek fan, so I would imagine like...
I want to go see The Hobbit because they have the real trailer is on. The real trailer for Star Trek is on now. Like,
I'm going to see
that
tonight.
That shows the actual story. Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to see it tonight.
I was thinking about it.
IMAX 3D.
I hear it's like a long movie.
It is like 2 hours and 46 minutes. Thank you, Peter Jackson.
Yeah.
Wow.
I heard
I'm so happy about that.
Oh, did you know? Okay, so here's an interesting fact about this movie I didn't know until last night. It's shot in 48 frames per second.
That's what I heard.
As opposed to 24. So make sure that, if you care about such things, go to the theater that's showing the 48 frames per second, because not all of them are.
Oh, did you? So you didn't see it yet?
No, I'm going to go see it tonight.
So are you going to one that is?
Yes.
I'm a worried it'll feel too real.
Yeah, like, that's what people are saying. Oh, God, it's too real.
Well, just the H, like, I learned something about TVs, like megahertz, how it plays in because I went to my wife's family's house, and they got an HD TV, but they have a regular DVD player, and you put it in, and it was looking weird, and I was like, it looks like ultra real, like, I don't... Like, the faces, everything's just... I don't know. Like, I was like, this doesn't look as good on my regular TV. And somebody said that if you sometimes have to turn it off because they'll clock, the TV will go faster.
That's what I've noticed with certain TVs. It'll go faster than whatever's playing.
So you need to change the settings on the TV to go down so that it'll look right.
Oh, okay.
Huh. So that's why they look funny when you do that. Yeah. So.
I remember we first got an HD TV. Like, we had an old TV for a really long time. It's pretty funny. We first got the HD TV, and I was just, like, looking at the TV, and I'm like, that's so weird. It's so bright, and in a weird way. It takes a while for your eyes to get used to different things.
I'm actually not a fan of HD.
Really?
When I watch it, because I'm like, I remember seeing an episode of 24 in the supermarket or at Fred Meyer's. And I was like, the guy looks like he's getting interrogated and getting the shit beat out of him. I like the fantasy.
Yeah.
I like the glossy. Like, I don't watch boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll watch WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all fake.
Exactly.
I think the guy's really getting beat up. Right.
That's interesting, yeah.
The sweat. I don't need to see the sweat.
You know what I saw and just was, like, too much for me? Like, and I don't know why I watched this as a kid. RoboCop. Jesus. Like, do you remember the first RoboCop?
I don't remember. No.
Oh, okay. No, so, like, there's a scene in the beginning where he just gets, like, shot up before he becomes RoboCop.
Okay,
and I was like, ugh. I was like, that was pretty graphic for...
You watched it again?
No, just, like, it was on like, Encore, and I was watching it, and I was like, I don't
know. Well, and that's the kind of scene that, like, watch that in HD, and it's going to, like...
Yeah, just, ugh.
Flying.
Yeah, I don't do good with blood. I mean, I don't know.
Do you do video games, like shooters?
Yeah, not really. I mean, well, let's see.
Sometimes I'm grossed out by them. I'm also like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's weird.
They can get pretty gnarly.
Yeah, even with Grand Theft Auto, I'm like the kind of person, I drive in the appropriate lane. I don't run over people. Like, I'm terrible.
You pull over.
You're driving Miss Daisy over here.
You try to redeem the hose.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Hey, have you accepted Jesus?
Yeah, exactly. Let me pass you this. But, like... It's interesting. I mean,
wouldn't that be funny to make a video game that's all about, like, Grand Theft Auto, but where you're out to go convert them?
Yeah. You're out to go do nice things. Exactly.
You're out to redeem people.
Grand Theft Jehovah's Witness. Y'all are knocking on people's door.
Start, like, instead of your mission to go, like, kill somebody, you need to, like,
convert
or go bring some milk.
Pay attention to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Your mission is to take all of these Bibles.
Yeah.
Like, smuggle these Bibles over into the infidels land and spread them out.
To Muslim territory.
Oh,
and then, like, your points raise on how converted the country is. Like, once you get 98%, then it opens the key to the...
Mitt Romney's listening. He's like, we're on to
something. Oh, my gosh.
Shit. This is how we'll get the children.
This is what I'm going to do. This is my purpose now that I am not the president.
Exactly. Love it.
Then the world changes, and in 20 years, they come to hunt Silas, the agnostic who gave the idea for the religious video games.
It's
like, I was just fucking around.
Man, we were just talking.
Man.
But if anyone wants to back that, I'll totally take the money.
Yeah, like, I can't, like, the last real violent video game that I really played was, like, GoldenEye. That was, like, fun, though.
GoldenEye.
That was old school.
It was, like, N64.
That's a great game.
Yeah, that was the first, for hours.
That was the first, like, mature video game I ever played. And I go through phases where I play video games and I don't.
Yeah.
So.
What are your top three?
My absolute favorite game is Bioshock. I think it's just the most amazing, scary, beautiful game.
I've never played Bioshock, but I heard it's amazing.
Ever existed.
Yeah.
And I'm taking such a long time with this one, but I'm still working on Mass Effect 3. I really love Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good game.
Did you play 1?
I did. I played 1 after I played 2, and I'm like, I don't really like 1, but once I start something, I'm like, I have to do it.
Exactly,
this.
So
I finished it, and I was like, okay. And then I played 2 again.
Yeah, yeah.
Once I, you know, because I have my character and built all that story.
It was
then I played 2 again, and now I'm working on 3, but... Three's taking a long time.
I played
time.
1, and then I didn't give myself, like, some of the powers, and I was kind of pissed.
Yeah.
And so then I went back and did it again, but I messed up and killed off, like, one of the guys, and then I was like, damn it. And then I had to go back and get it.
Yeah.
It was just,
So.
Wait, so, man, do you have a Xbox?
I have Xbox and PlayStation, so. But I will be giving my mom my Xbox for Christmas.
Oh,
so
what?
She wants to do the Kinect, like, fit or whatever.
Son of a bitch.
Well, I would give it to you if you had to ask sooner.
Your mom? I just can't believe you're giving it to your mom. Like, your mom wants the video game system.
She probably won't even play it. Actually,
she's going to be like, Kinect.
Do you have anything? Do you have any games?
I only have a Wii.
All right, I'm giving you...
That's my problem.
Do you want that Wii? Give me the Wii. I'll give you the Xbox and all the games that I have with it. and I give my mom the Wii.
Yeah, because she can do like all that sort of stuff with the Wii.
Wait, what does she want to do?
And really, it's kind of better. The Kinect fit is not so great.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Really? So. I thought the Kinect was really
I've got I've got a 250 gigabyte. I actually just wanted to play the new Zelda.
Just buy that $99 Kinect system.
Yeah, true. Well, I might just go buy it. Do you want my Xbox?
You're giving her used shit. I thought you loved your mom.
I'm buying her Kinect. She's getting like $300 worth of games.
I like that you're like, because she's going to sit there playing like Grand Theft Auto. Let me beat the bitches.
Me and my mom, I remember when I was 13, our game that we used to play against each other was Tetris. Oh, we would play for hours.
Yeah.
And she would like just be dropping like the, you remember like, okay, there was a competitive Tetris where you'd set it up, you drop the like the fourth, you know, like you get four lines, and then it'd pop up on your opponents. She would just be dominating.
I totally missed out on competitive Tetris.
Yeah, competitive Tetris was a motherfucker.
Does your husband play video games
too? Not that much. He plays every once in a while. He'll play like Madden, and he plays Halo.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not good at Halo. I never really.
I don't get into Halo, and I think it's probably because I played it a little bit, and then I was like, "This is boring."
Yeah.
And then I got into the games that I was playing, and they just are so much richer in terms of Well, from my perspective, they're more rich in terms of their story and their interaction, and immersion sort of stuff. So I played Halo with him a few months ago, and I was like,
Yeah, I get killed every, like, you know, I'm playing against, like, 12-year-olds, and they're, like, calling me bitch and, like, blowing me up, and I'm like, what happened to me? I used to be a man. You know what I mean? It's terrible, you know?
I can't play, like, I've never done the online thing, because, I don't need to be called out by 12-year-olds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? I would play against my stepbrother, and he would just be dominating, and I'm like, this shit isn't even fun anymore. Nah. But, you know what, like...
You should put that on your mirror, though. Yeah. Like, what happened to you? You used to be a man.
Exactly, right? Just a quote. every day.
It's like, okay, I'm going to be a man today. There.
Mirror quotes.
Exactly.
That's good.
Man, there was actually a game before Mass Effect that I used to love. It was a Star Wars game. It was Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that game, but I never played it.
It was kind of like Mass Effect, but you got to, you know, you made good decisions, bad decisions, but it was based on a Jedi, and it was pretty cool.
Right on. So,
I wish they had it came out with another, but...
They did.
Well, they did, but for online, but it's... I'm not going to go online start playing stuff.
Well, wait. Oh, they only came out... Knights of the Republic 2 came out.
Yeah, they have. I played both of those, but then they came out the third.
Right. For that. Like, I'm not getting online.
Yeah, I'm not getting online. So.
Bitches.
Screw that. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. I saw that game, and I was really disappointed.
Same here.
It's online? Yeah. Oh, man. Like, damn it.
So.
It's hard to... my system.
Yeah. I can't get into those.
You'll have to talk to me when you beat Mass Effect 3 and let me know what you think about the ending.
Yeah, I hear...
Yeah, we'll see.
So far, I'm like, it's a bit depressing. Already, the game itself is already depressing.
Oh, tell me about it, yeah. Like, you know, how far are you? Like, spoiler alert.
Like, 30% in, probably.
Okay. So, like, you were past the part where that little kid, like, blows up in the ship.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, ooh.
What if she wasn't?
And I said, spoiler alert. Like, that's, like, the first part of the game.
Well, to her, though.
It's the first part of the game, so she's 30% in.
It's the first part of the game.
Yeah, I was like, So, you're like, damn.
You know what the worst game ever is?
What?
For the original Xbox, there's a game called The Hobbit.
Ooh.
It was awful. Like, the camera control. It was horrible. Like, I bought it like, oh, The Hobbit. And I'm like, I threw it.
I think he finds a ring.
That's my joke. I did that online.
I did that online. That's right.
Hey, it's a solid joke. Some people are quoting it.
There you go.
But, yeah, it was a horrible game. And I went and looked at, I wish I looked at the reviews before, but it was only like, they're selling it for like $7. So I bought it. But then I was trying to sell it at yard sales, and people look it up. I'm like, yeah, it's not a great game. Yeah. I'm like the worst salesman for the game because I just felt guilty. Nobody should buy this.
You should not buy that game.
Man. Oh, a Hobbit. A horrible game.
That is great.
Which is horrible because it's a good potential.
Yeah. There's another crappy game.
I bet they come out with one.
Have you
now.
Seen, do you like the Lego games?
Those are actually a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They came out with a Lord of the Rings one that looks really adorable.
I just saw the preview for that, yeah.
I haven't finished the Lord of the Rings Xbox one. I still have my old Xbox because I'm ghetto.
I love it. It was great.
Well, I haven't hooked it up forever, but I'm like, go back and finish it.
One of my friends has a mod or something where all the games are on there or something. I'll have to...
Well, as long as you have it.
Yeah. Well,
you can download.
You can download all these games, the old games. Oh, actually, no. He has all the old Sega games.
But, you know, I don't know. When I get those, like, things like, I got all these old Atari games on the system. Suddenly, now they don't seem, they're not that exciting to play.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you have, like, 100 of them. You're like,
Yeah, exactly.
Frogger. I'll just watch TV.
Frogger for, like, 3 hours. Yeah.
Well, it's exciting when you have that one and then you play, like, oh, play that for a while. Yeah. But when you get them all, it's like, oh, wow, I got them all. And it's like someone downloaded a bunch of movies onto my laptop, and I was like, all excited to have all these movies to watch.
Yeah.
And then I just wasn't watching them, and then I just started feeling guilty about them, and I deleted them. I'm like, I don't want to pirate them.
It's
weird. Couldn't even feel good about, I left Pineapple Express on there for like
a
year.
That's
I left it a year, and I wouldn't watch it. I was like, but I'll watch it one day. I watch, and then I'm like, I just would rather rent it. I just feel bad going with the system.
Even though they're
people need
millionaires.
To get paid.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but
well, feel good about being a person who has guilt. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But music, on the other hand, no, I'm just kidding.
No,
make sure you buy music. Make
please
sure you
buy music.
Yes.
Where can we get your CD?
You can get my CD at a variety of online retailers. It's available through iTunes if you like to just do that. You could buy the physical CD at cdbaby.com.
Uh-huh.
You can also download it at Bandcamp. I like that site.
Bandcamp.com?
Yeah, bandcamp.com.
This sounds dirty.
Yeah, I know. Listen to Bandcamp.
It's not dirty. Yeah, so those are the main places.
Not Amazon?
Oh, yeah, you actually can get it on Amazon, too.
Oh, so they can click our link on the page and go to Amazon.com and buy it.
There you go.
Awesome.
Make sure you do that.
Awesome. I'll cut out all those other places.
Yes.
No, but not from your website. It's what? Scarlet?
ScarletSeason.com.
Okay.
But you can't buy anything directly on there. It takes you to, like, CD Baby, I think, if you click on things there.
Awesome.
We talked about the CD camp. Okay.
No, we need to talk about the girls' camp, though. I have to plug the
girls' camp. Oh, is that separate? Separate.
It's all part of an umbrella organization. So the main camp is called Rain City Rock Camp for Girls. And it is usually 2 weeks in the summer. And it is not just a music camp, although it has all of those elements, much like the ladies' rock camp. But it is also an empowerment camp for young girls. And they take girls' ages. This year they changed the age to 17, I think. So it's ages 8 to 17, I believe. And similar situation. Girls go, and it's a week, so it's 5 days, and then they have a showcase on day number 6. They go, and they form little bands, and they write original songs, and they learn to play their instruments. And then they play them at a showcase, which is at the Crocodile. So they get to be on a huge stage and be total rock stars for a day. But it is more than the music. Music is obviously important, and we're very strongly motivated to try to get more women in music, because the statistics on women in the music industry are pretty not awesome. And I think there was a really great graphic last year about how many women performers there were at Sasquatch, which was like maybe 5%, and that might be even more of the performers at Sasquatch were women. So we're all about empowering women, both in music and just in their general lives. And so the camps are really a lot of, like, there's a lot of workshops about self-esteem and, like, bullying and all kinds of things that all these girls are dealing with every day at school and from social media. You know, lots of information about how the media affects how women feel about themselves and lots of stuff like that. So it's a really, like, fully rounded self-esteem empowerment music camp for young girls, and everyone should go to it.
I feel like we need more of that.
I wish so much that I'd had this when I was a kid. It would have been pretty epic.
Definitely.
It's much better than the camp they have for dancers in black music videos. Camp. It's
not the video hoe.
Yeah. How to be a video hoe in 2 weeks.
Girl,
it's
I'm
not
about
good,
to be looking
that's
too
a bad
cute.
Camp.
Yeah,
yours is more positive.
It's we focus on the positive. Yeah, yeah. Although there are dance parties, but yeah, they're
yeah, not the video.
Not the video dance party. More just like have fun. And
this
shake
is
it, dance
that,
party.
That is like awesome. Who founded this? Do you know?
So our founder here is a woman named Natalie Walker, and I don't have the information on who originally founded this camp.
Mm-hmm.
Probably somebody famous.
Anybody.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
Where's the
Riot
is.
So we're part of the International Girls Rock Camp Alliance, which was based on Portland's Rock and Roll Camp for Girls.
Nice.
So there are over 35 affiliate camps over the U.S. and the world, all kinds of countries, like Berlin, or Sweden, New Zealand. I almost called Berlin a country. That's not a country. the UK.
Portland has a lot of great things come out of there.
No, they really do. Like, I don't know, in Seattle, I feel like we should have a lot more, but we don't.
Right. We just get gay married and smoke pot.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. Like, anyways.
They're in Portland. You can't do it. They're inspirational artists, but they won't legalize anything.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they won't sales tax anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
True.
If you can't pay... You know what? This is why. They can't even pump their own gas.
Yeah, very true.
Can't pump their own gas.
I can't even pump their own gas.
So they sit that time in the car and they're sitting there like, oh, okay, let me be an artist. Although I have this idea, we should do this.
I should put a bird on something.
A bird.
It's the Portlandia. Sorry.
I love it.
Have you watched Portlandia?
I love that show. It's great.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet?
It's a funny
There's
show.
There's a lot of like comics down there who've been on it.
I know. So, I'm jealous.
Yeah, we need something like that.
We need a Seattle Landia.
Totally.
We need to go down there. Yeah, seriously. What would we... Yeah, or the Emerald City Landia or something. I don't know.
Was that Wizard of Oz?
Yeah, probably, but it'll be close. Yeah.
Emerald City.
Anybody see the Man of Steel trailer?
Oh my gosh!
What?
You haven't seen that?
What?
The new Superman trailer?
No.
Man of Steel. Oh, amazing! Yeah.
Just have you get on
Superman.
Yeah,
They did this on the other day on a podcast, and they just cut to the end on it. Can you get on it?
I don't know. Can I?
On YouTube?
On Dogberry.
Yeah.
I'll just cut this part out.
Hold on.
As you get on,
I'll actually be right back.
What's your initial reaction?
Okay,
you're like, gay.
No, it looks cool, and I'm a big Chris Nolan fan, so I'm sure it will be good.
No, he didn't direct it, right?
Yeah.
Or is it directed?
He
or
produced.
He produced. Yeah. I'm sorry. Produced.
And then who's the...
I don't know who the director is. I feel like they were hiding the director.
Yeah, they didn't really broadcast
James,
that
no, thing. J.J., no.
It's not J.J.
No, that's the guys doing Star Trek again.
Yeah, no, it's... Anyways.
I was like, wow, I don't know if it's like a Smallville, like growing up kind of thing.
So it seems
or
like.
If just,
yeah.
Or if that's just flashbacks because it looks like he's in the water, so maybe those are flashing back to a couple times.
I get the feeling that it's kind of going to be like, kind of like a Batman Begins sort of thing where like you get a lot of backstory and then like maybe some cool stuff happens.
That's what I was saying.
I like the scene of him in cuffs walking.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
Yeah,
I like to think someone asked. There's a still of that released, and I said I like to think that Superman is a man of integrity, and if he was taken into custody, like they wanted to take him, he'd be like, "All right, we'll go.
Yeah,
and we'll go sit in there and we'll work this out." I like to think that.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's actually I'm a huge Superman fan, but I watched there's a recent one. It was an animated special. It was Superman versus the Elite. And there's a quote he says at the end about, like, how easy it is to kill. And, he just talks about how he stands for, like, so much more. But I'll botch the quote if I try to remember it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, watch it. It's definitely good.
We gotta have a game of that for each episode. Manny's botched quotes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, remember that quote?
You remember that quote?
Oh,
shit. What was it? I think Obama said.
My husband mentioned something about, so he's always on Reddit. He's, like, obsessed with Reddit. And he, I think, said something that there was somebody comparing, like, who's the best superhero? Superman or Indiana Jones? And we're just like,
he's
what?
Not a superhero.
A, Indiana Jones, not a superhero.
Yeah.
B, it's always Superman.
Exactly.
It's always Superman. This isn't a question.
Yeah.
It's always Superman. If it's anybody else, maybe Batman. But if it isn't Batman or Superman, it's just Superman.
Exactly. What were you, DC or Marvel?
DC. I didn't really watch.
I wasn't a big Marvel fan. Like, I love DC.
I used to watch the old live-action Spider-Man
show.
Wow.
And, like, they would do a lot of two-hour movies of Spider-Man. Like, I used to watch when I was a kid. And then I did always like the guy, I guess it was Captain, this TV show called Shazam.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that one.
It was Shazam!
I saw, change. What was it?
Huh.
Three Little Genies or something that he would talk to. I was a big, I don't know, for some reason I was always intrigued by Green Lantern.
Yeah, very good.
And I actually enjoyed the movie. Most people hated it, but I liked Green Lantern.
Yeah, most people hated the movie. I actually liked it.
I was like a comic book.
Yeah.
It seemed to be.
Huh. Yeah.
I was a big fan of it. Superman I always had a thing for until, well, then it started getting like really popular and I was like, I don't like that everyone likes it now.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked being unique and I was I was so excited when I got the Superman shirt and then I saw Manny had one. I was like, fuck.
Oh.
He's wearing it.
Are you actually
wearing a different one?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just makes me feel safe.
I'm the only colored nerd.
It's crazy because, I remember being on the scene. I was like, "Who's this guy with all the superhero? That's me." I was like, "That's my thing."
But then I never heard him making jokes about it, except for like he would talk about the movie he just saw.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I saw you talking about. And I was like,
"Yeah,
I think he watches movies. I don't think he lives it like
that." Yeah, I don't live it as hard.
Punk
as you.
Wasn't beat up for being a nerd. We chased him.
I did get a few fights in school, but he wasn't.
I
started a riot. What in school? I ever tell you about that?
What?
Oh, it was crazy. So. I grew up Catholic, and, went to this junior high, and in middle school, there was this this Filipino kid who always used to pick on me, you know, and for some reason, like, he came up to me, and we went to this thing on Wednesdays, it was called CCD, I don't even know what it stood for, but it was about Catholic, yeah. And I remember him saying, he was like, "Black people can't be Catholic," and I was like, "Did you just say that to me?" You know, and I'm in junior high, I'm just like, you know what, let me turn the other cheek, whatever, I'm not gonna fight him in CCD, right? The next day at school, and this had been going on for, like, weeks. And it's me, my friend Justin, and this other kid. I think his name was Derek. We were walking around the back of the school. And all of a sudden, I feel something hit me in the face. And this kid, Mark, the same one who said, you know, black people can't be Catholic, he took a shirt and just, like, snapped it around and hit me in the mouth with it. And I was like, holy shit, right? And there was, like, 10 of these guys, 10 Filipino guys, 3, you know, black guys. We were like, oh, shit, right? And I was like, I don't. And then they walked by me, and they, like, this dude was like, "You're a bitch." And I was like, all right, whatever. And so, all of a sudden, they go down to McDonald's, right? Some of the other black kids come up. They were like, "I'm tired of the Filipino kids trying to run shit around here." And Picari's like, "We're going down to McDonald's, Manny. We're going to squash this. We're going to, you know, whatever." So, they go down there. I stay at school because I'm like, if anybody's got a gun, I'm not trying to get shot. Right? And so, they all come back up to school. Like, 40, like, black people surround me and this Filipino kid. There's, like, 10 of the Filipino kids, right? And it's, like, 40 black people. And I just want to fight this kid, Mark, right? And I was like, I'm just tired of this shit, right? And so all of a sudden, as we're getting ready to fight, I hear somebody in my ear say, "Hey, as soon as you throw the first punch, I'm jumping in and knocking all these motherfuckers out." And I'm like, you know, and I'm like 13. I'm like, holy shit, I just wanted it to be me and this kid, you know, has been giving me a hard time. And so basically the kid threw a punch. I blocked it and I socked him in the face and like had him like in a headlock, and I just kept punching him, and then all of a sudden all these black people jump on all these like Filipino kids, and I felt horrible.
Oh my God.
I didn't stop punching the kid. I felt horrible. And then
I feel really bad about
this. Exactly.
This I'm okay with though. Yeah. You deserve that.
A teacher ran through the door. He's like, "What the fuck is going on?" And I grabbed my like backpack and we all took off running, and man, it was like a huge riot. Like black people and Filipino people were fighting for him.
It's all West Side Story.
Yeah, I ended up moving. It was fun.
Wow.
So we were already moving anyway.
It's
so
good thing racism is over.
Now. Yeah, exactly,
good,
right?
It's really great.
It's crazy, though, yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
We're doing a big fundraiser. This some dates to plug. You know, it's like, remember, did you ever watch Old School Wrestling?
Yes.
When they'd be like, coming to Durham, North Carolina.
Summer Sizzler
Rick
Tour.
Ric Flair. Arn Anderson.
The Four Horsemen Dallas. Return. So.
No, I'm doing a fundraiser. It was already planned before events happened, but I wanted to raise money for Seattle Children's Hospital.
Oh.
So this Thursday at Daryl's Tavern, I've got four headliners coming and to perform, and three other features over at Daryl's Tavern in Shoreline, raising as much money as we can for
Trying
Seattle Children's Hospital.
Far away from Bellevue as possible.
Huh? Oh, are you in Bellevue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyone listening, they can come over. We got Becca Berry, Dwayne Goad, Tony Daniel, and Emmett Montgomery, and also Manny Martin will be there.
Sweet.
Chris Rodriguez, Jay Hollingsworth, and then other dates. I got January 5th, Comedy Resolutions. I'll be doing that at the Jewel Box. Then Manny and I will be doing Comedy's Most Wanted.
That's right.
January 23rd.
January 23rd.
Derek Sheen closing out the show.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a new venture for us.
That's going to be at the Parlor. The Parlor Live.
See, now that's in my Instagram.
January 23rd.
Totally. Well, hey,
We'll get you a ticket.
Yeah,
we'll
invite everybody out.
I will.
It's going to be a very exciting show. It's the debut of this. Hopefully, get a good turnout, and they'll say, "We want some more."
Exactly.
Bring us back.
And I was actually talking to Ruben, and he said we should bring our podcast to the Parlor and tape a live podcast there.
Fun.
Yeah.
Some night?
Some night, whenever we want.
Okay.
So, and then he said whenever we want to do a ticket giveaway for some upcoming shows, it doesn't even have to be our show. It could be, like, you know, something. Oh. We'll plug it for him. So.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice.
We're taking off the brand Black and a Half.
And one more plug. This is for my uncle out there. who's a listener. He had a shirt before all the tragedy stuff kind of went down this week. It's called hugyourchild.com. It's actually HYCHILD.com. Check it out. He has shirts that he's
Hold on, what is it?
Hug Your Child. And so that he has a shirt.
And what's the website?
It's HYCHILD.com. And he also has Peace and Move Forward. So that's another shirt that's been really cool. So, you know, been doing his own thing and taking off. He's big in radio and everything else.
Is he?
Yeah. He's part of that. The family out there, like my aunt, who's the announcer for the San Francisco Giants, they're kind of all in the same.
I don't know about this.
You know about that? Yeah, okay. So that's part of the family. So
that's famous.
We have family in radio, so
Yeah, you have a very radio voice.
I'm all nasally today. I feel gross. I know. KWBBL, top of the morning to you.
Nice. Yeah.
Black and a half returns. So dumb. But yeah, no, totally. I felt like you have a great radio voice, but maybe it's from the singing.
Somebody's
and everything.
Told me that before too, but I've never done radio, so.
Wow, there you go. Maybe this will be our trio if we ever get on the radio. It'd be great.
Man, he's got us on so many gigs now.
I know, right?
He's like, hey, maybe we'll do a radio. Last week, we're going to do a movie. Yeah. He's going to be in the movie, the last one.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you know, why not have your hand in everything?
Exactly.
You can't even make it on time to the podcast.
I know, right?
Holy shit.
So bad.
All right.
All right, awesome. Ready for action, nip it in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcast is everlasting, not clashing, not at all. But see, my nigga went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one and pass him. Drip, drip, drop, there it goes, an eargasm. Now you coming out the side of your...